And I got out, I come running back to you. I come running back to you. Yeah, I come running back to you.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia's people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett, and this is episode 108. It's August the 2nd, 2023, and football practice started this week for local high schools. The temperature's dropped about 15 degrees, and today our guest is he's a former athlete, teacher. He was a longtime high school coach, baseball coach at Independence High School, and now assistant coach at WVU Tech. Great guy, Mr. Joe Goddard. Joe, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You grew up in Slabford, didn't you?
Yes, I was born in Beckley. My dad was a coal miner, and I was lived in Slabford until I was 10 years old. We moved to Arizona for 1 year. My sister, youngest sister, had some asthma and so forth. We moved out there for a year, and then came back to West Virginia a year later. Lived in Fayette County, Greenbrier County first, and then we moved to Fayette County. Then we moved back to Raleigh County, and Dad got his job back at Slab Fork, and so that's where I was at the rest of the time.
Now, Slab Fork is, of course, Bill Withers was born there, and Billy Sellers from Sophia, he right. lived down at Slab Fork, and Doris Payne, you remember, heard of Doris Payne? She was a jewelry thief or something, a world renowned person there. But my family, my dad worked at Slab Fork for 20 years, and they lived at Slab Fork before I was born. And then they moved to Beckley, and I was born in Beckley, but I also had a cousin, I think went to school with you, Daryl Kincaid. And he lived at Slab Fork for a while, and then they moved to Midway, I think, sometime during his high school career. But what was the first organized sport you ever got into?
Well, back then you didn't have T-ball or anything like that. You went to Little League at 9 years old. And we played Little League baseball at Glen White, which was, I think, later they put a lumber yard over there at the old Little League field.
Yeah.
But that was the first organized. I played Little League at Sophia Little League when I was 9 and 10. And then the summer when I was 10 and 11, I played out in Arizona. And then we moved back to Rainell in August of that year. Then I finished playing at Little League at Sophia.
Now, there was guys at Sophia like Albert Venneri and Dennis Saunders and guys like that spent a lot of time making that very good league. Alvin Pittman, Raleigh Martin, guys like that. Who was your first coach?
My first one was Mr. Porter. I had him. And then the gentleman they called Pop Kester coached me. I played for Tam's Little League.
Uh-huh.
When I was 11 and 12. Mr. Porter had us when I was 9, 10. I was gone to Arizona, came back, and Pop Kester, that lived at Soap Creek, was our manager when I was 11 and 12.
Now, how did you get back and forth from Slab Fork to Sophia and to practice or games and stuff?
Well, we played our games at Glen White, but we practiced on the football field at Sophia High School. During the day, Mr. Porter worked in the mines, I think, in the afternoon, so we would practice there, you know, sometimes. But most of the times, my parents took me over to Glen White, and we would practice and play our games there. That's when they first opened up the road, really.
Did you play youth football or anything like that?
They didn't have any youth football or anything like that. We never played any kind of organized football until I was in the ninth grade.
Yeah. I think only the Beckley area had youth football then, and I know I played for East Beckley, and we had a few Shady Spring boys that came in and played with us, but they didn't have football, midget league or youth football out there at that time. Now, in high school, but you played football, basketball, and baseball in high school. And your football coach and baseball coach, was that Jess Lacy?
Jess Lacy.
Yeah. And what kind of coach was he?
Coach never said a whole lot and everything. Very, very knowledgeable. You know, great. I played for two great coaches. Coach Lacy, who is in the WVU Tech Hall of Fame, played football for him. He was the varsity football coach and the baseball coach. Bob Douglas was our freshman football coach and our high school, the varsity basketball coach. So they just, and then John Kurzik was the assistant baseball coach.
Now, Coach Douglas, when I was working down at Sophie Elementary, he was still coaching basketball. Great guy, man. I mean, just nicest person in the world. And I coached sixth grade basketball team, and Richard Colasurto coached the eighth grade basketball team, and he would let us come down. Back then, the season lasted all the way through the winter and wherever you could get a game. And he'd let us come down to the gym and practice after the high school was done, and he would stay there with us, you know, till everything. Real nice guy, and had some pretty good teams.
Well, Coach Lacy, after I got out of high school and went on to college, and really when I got out of college, I played golf a lot with Coach Lacy. Coach Douglas, after my high school career was over and I was in college and beyond, I went fishing with Coach Douglas. So, yeah, very, very good coaches. And we did have some very, you know, very good teams. The basketball team, we were state runner-up in 1967. Baseball team, we were 1968. We made it to, that's when you only had one division of baseball. They only took eight teams. We made it to Parkersburg. Won the first round and lost to Parkersburg in the second round.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. It seemed like when you guys, in 1966, it's when Beckley had some pretty good ball players, and like you said, everybody played in one division, and they had Chubby Hughes, Steve Licklider, and that bunch, but you guys had to play each other in the sectionals, and in 66, you guys lost to them the first year. And that's when you had Jackie Parker played with you guys then, I think.
Yes.
He was good. Jackie wrestled and was a good baseball player. And then you guys come back and beat Woodrow in the sectionals of 67 and 68, leaving a good team at home. Of course, you still had the regions. In 67, you beat Woodrow, but then you lost to East Bank, and they had a guy named Darryl Brown.
T. Brown.
You remember him?
Yeah, he hit a home run on the vocational building to beat us in the top of the ninth.
Wow. And you had two hits in that game, I think.
I can't remember. If I remember correctly, we scored in the ninth inning to go up 1-0. And then D. Brown hit a two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth to beat us 2-1.
Wow. Then in 68, like I said, you won the section, you won the region. I think you beat Seth. I don't even think Seth has a high school anymore, do they?
Sherman.
Was it Sherman? Okay. And you had to play Kaiser the first game, and Kaiser had the team back in those days. You know, they had like a 50-some game winning streak.
I think they were defending state champion.
Yeah. And you guys beat them the first round, but you probably used your best pitcher.
Well, you know, when you got up there was only eight teams, and it wasn't so much the best pitcher. You know, we just played that day. I think Parkersburg beat us 6-0.
Yeah.
You've done your history on all this stuff. You know more about all these games than I do right now. I can remember. But, we beat Kaiser the first day, defending state champion, and then the second day Parkersburg beat us.
Yeah. I think it was in a Parkersburg game, though, that Neff hit a home run that nobody had ever hit over the fence before.
I thought that was the Kaiser game.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, the Kaiser game. He hit one across the left center field, across the street, into a yard.
Wow. Yeah. He was a pretty good-sized guy, wasn't he?
I'm older now, but seemingly like remembering Donald was the same size when he was in the seventh grade as he was in the 12th grade. He was a very stocky, strong person, probably 5'9", about 5'9", 5'11", about 190 to 200 pounds. Could really hit. You know, he hit one, like, say, over there at the City Park in Parkersburg that people still talk about today.
Well, what position did he normally play?
He was our first baseman in high school. And then in Legion ball in the summer, he was first base, right field.
Yeah. Now, what a lot of people don't realize, in that 68 state tournament, Steve Swisher played for Parkersburg, right, who went on and had a pro career, an outstanding pro career. And I think it was you and Neff and Kent Martin who made all tournament that year. And then you were first team All-State. You were second team All-State as a junior and first team All-State with Kent Martin. And but a lot of people don't realize that Nick Saban was All-State.
Right.
And
we talked about that yesterday down at the Artie Museum.
Did you?
Yes.
And he was the coach at Alabama. He was a pretty good athlete. He was quarterback, I think, in football and great baseball player. And, of course, Steve Swisher was All-State, too, that year. You mentioned American Legion team. Now, I know some of the better players from Beckley came over. Scotty Cuthbert came over from Stokoe. What was the lineup? Can you remember the lineup that normally that with that American Legion team?
We had Sophia High School and Woodrow and Stokoe were the three schools that made them. Usually I caught, and we had Donald Neff or Roger Schmeyer or Gene Gilkerson played first. All three were very good. Scotty Cuthbert played second. Louis Pernesti played third, shortstop. Steve Licklider played third with Don Gibson from Helen. The outfield, we had Donald Neff, John Cook, Neil Hawkins, J.C. Jones, Chubby Hughes. We had a great pitching staff, Kent Martin, Oki Calvert, Bill Burgess. We had four or five guys that just pitched.
The Chubby pitched some, too.
Oh, he's a great pitcher. Probably, I'm not quite sure, they called me several years ago and asked me about the State American Legion strikeout record in the tournament, and I told them to look up because Chubby may still hold it.
I didn't know that. Now, you guys won the states and went to New Jersey or something.
Right. We played in Bordentown, New Jersey. We played Lyndhurst, New Jersey, the first game, and lost to them, and then we lost to Washington, D.C. the second game.
I remember listening to that on the radio. Now, that particular year, well, growing up and playing ball in Sophia, what kind of music did you listen to back then? Or did
everything you? Was, you know, well, not that much, but I mean, everything was, you know, 60s music, you know, more, you know, Dick Clark, American Bandstand, and all that stuff. That's about what was.
Whatever was been played there. But who was your professional wise, who was your favorite team and player when you were growing up, or did you have one?
Really didn't have one. I think I think most of the ball players back then, you picked out two or three people that's who you kind of, when you were playing out in the, we call it, you know, when we were down there at the grade school playing, you know, well, today I'm going to be Mickey Mantle. Well, this time I'm going to be Willie Mays. And I'm going to be Henry Aaron, you know. You watched, there was only one game, baseball game on television each week, and that was the Yankees and whoever they were playing on Saturday. So that's the team that you watched all the time.
Yeah.
But growing up, you know, you just played there in Slab Fork, you know, you played ball all day. Just, you know, we went to the grade school, we played all day long. When the day shift at the mines, then they would come up, all the coal miners and the families, and you come up and you play until they got too dark to see. And then he went home.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the coal camps had teams and
right.
played in that Raleigh County League and Southern West Virginia League, and some of those are pretty good ball players.
Well, I think there's two great documentaries out there about that.
Yeah.
About the old leagues, you know, and I think every town had a team. I'm not sure if Slab Fork did, but I know Glenn White. And then all these teams, every little town had a team that they played on the weekends.
Yeah, they well, they used to play down where Raleigh Motor Sales was there, and from stories that I've heard, guys like Stan Musial would even come down playing with the Williamson team for a little bit.
When we played Legion Ball at Williamson, they kept telling us about a home run that Stan Musial hit that was across the right field fence, halfway across a football field on a porch. So I don't know if it's true or not. That's what we were told when we went there.
Well, I think the leagues got so competitive that the coal companies every once in a while would hire a pro or whatever to come in and kind of solidify the teams. You know, got a little pretty competitive. But now, after you graduated, coach down at Marshall, Jack Cook, he recognized the local talent. He took four of you guys from around the area, didn't he?
Right. Myself, Kent Martin, Chubby Hughes, and Steve Lipnotter.
And I know Chubby and Steve, I've heard say before that they wanted to go down there and play basketball and baseball.
Well, I didn't know that, but I knew they were there for a short period of time.
Yeah, and it didn't quite work out for them, and so they left after the or in the middle of first year, I guess. I don't know how that worked. But Chubby ended up down at West Virginia State and had a good career down there in basketball and baseball. And then Steve went down to Morse Harvey, and actually Steve's going to be on to one of our podcasts here in a couple of weeks, supposed to be downtown, and I'll talk to him a little bit. I met Jack Cook one time, and I was impressed. Nicest guy in the world. He didn't know me from Adam. And what facility he had there at Marshall, he took me around, showed me everything, and was real, real good guy. And I wish that he would live long enough to see the new stadium, but he didn't quite there. But what kind of coach was Jay?
Coach Cook was probably the reason that I finished school, because he was like a second dad to me. You know, I mean, I came from a small town, went down there, and he was just a great person. We had freshman baseball when I was there. That was either the last year of freshman ball or maybe one more year. But we played freshman ball. We practiced on a different field, but then we would go over maybe once or twice a week in the fall and play inter-squad games against the varsity. But Coach Cook was just a great person. I talked to him quite a few times afterwards, you know, when I got out of Marshall. Couple winters I lived in Huntington before I came back here. I mean, you know, I love Coach Cook.
Yeah. Now, you got drafted in 1972?
71.
71.
Right. I got drafted after my junior year
at
Marshall by San Diego, and then started playing professional ball, and I was kind of all over the place after that.
Now, San Diego was the first year that they were a new team back then. At that time, weren't they? And you were an eighth round draft pick. Where'd you go when you first got drafted?
Well, the first year that I signed, the story kind of goes like this. I was supposed to go play in what was called the Southern Illinois Collegiate League. Joe Carbone, who was a longtime coach at Ohio University, was our graduate assistant. He got me a spot to go play summer baseball out there. You didn't have cell phones and all that. So the day of the draft, nobody called me. The next day, I had a plane ticket to go out to Illinois to start playing this collegiate summer league. Didn't hear anything that morning, so I went to Charleston. I was in the airport, and Coach Cook called me, and he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm getting ready to get on the flight to head out to Illinois. And he said, well, I don't know what to tell you to do, said, because you got drafted in the eighth round by San Diego. And I said, well, Coach, I got a plane ticket here, and I'm leaving in 15 minutes, and I really don't know what to do. And so I flew to Chicago. When I got to Chicago, they paged me, and it was the scout from San Diego. So he talked to me while I was in the airport, and then he talked to my dad and mom, and then he called me back. And so we decided that I was going to sign with San Diego. So he said, don't fly in that last flight. He said, go over to the ticket booth. There's a flight for you to come back to Beckley. So I went over there, picked up that ticket, and I flew back to Beckley that day. So I was on a plane all day long. I flew out to Chicago, and I flew back. And then the next day, the scout came in with took us out to eat and everything, and I signed a contract. And then we went straight to the airport, got a ticket, and the next day I went to what was called Tri-Cities, Kennewick, Washington, to play in the Northwest League.
Wow.
So a matter of 3 days.
Had you ever flown before?
One time. We flew when we won the American Legion State Championship. We flew to Bordentown, New Jersey.
Okay.
But I did all that in about 3 days.
Wow. So. Now, you ended up in Louisiana somewhere, didn't you?
Well, the first year of Northwest League was Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. And then we had a Class A team in the California League that I skipped the next year. I went straight to Double A, and that was in Alexandria, Louisiana. And that's that summer I got called up to the major leagues twice. And then the next year, 73, I spent all in back in Double A in Louisiana. Then 74, I split part of it in Louisiana and Double A, and then I was in Hawaii and Triple A. And then the same thing in 75. And then 76, I was a player coach in AA in Amarillo, Texas.
Now, you had the coach, Claude Osteen. Did he coach you?
No, that's who I got. He was with the Dodgers. That's who I got my first hit on.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah,
my coach was Duke. My first year, second year was one everybody remembers, was my manager was Duke Snider.
The old Dodger and, guy, wasn't
well, but most of the people in the San Diego organization were the old Brooklyn Dodger people. Buzzy Bavese was the owner, general manager. You know, most of our coaches and stuff had some prior affiliation with the Dodgers.
Yeah. Didn't Don Zimmer coach you somewhere along
the line? He was the manager in San Diego when I got called up to the big leagues.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked him. Even after he got older, got in that fight.
Yeah, he had gotten a job. He was the third base coach the year before, a couple years, maybe at least 1 year. But that summer's when they fired Preston Gomez in the middle, you know, early in the season, and Don Zimmer was promoted to the managerial position.
Did you get married anytime around that during that time? Or?
Well, I got married to 71 when I came back.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. And your wife traveled with you?
Well, it was in Louisiana, you know, there, yeah, but not out in, I got married after I came back from the first year. So, but it wasn't too bad going to Hawaii
yeah.
and everything. So, long road trips.
But now, playing in the double A and triple A stuff, I mean, you was part of like, what, four championships, wasn't you? When did some of those teams
Well, won? Class A, but I guess it was kind of like Princeton, the old Appalachian League, but it was the Northwest League, which started, it was like 70-some games. We won that. We were champions of the Northwest League in 71. 72, we won the Eastern Division of the Texas League, and then we lost to El Paso, who were the Dodgers in the finals. And then 75, we won the Triple-A championship in the Pacific Coast League in Hawaii. And then 76, before I came, that team won the Texas League. But I came back the 1st of August and start coaching at Independence.
Yeah. How did you get in the catching?
I always played shortstop and pitched. We had other, you know, up through Little League. And Senior League, it's kind of started off like that. But when we were 15 in Senior League is when I started catching. And so forth. Donald Neff had always caught most of the time on the teams like that. When my freshman year in high school, I was a shortstop pitcher. But then that summer, we for the Senior League All-Star team in Sophia is when I started catching. We won the state championship down at Watt Powell Park, and then we lost to Delaware in the regionals. But that's when I started catching, was when my sophomore, between my freshman and sophomore year in high school.
Wow. When I was a 15-year-old in the Beckley Babe Ruth, we got about halfway through the season, and the only catcher we had, he got bad and quit in the middle of the season. And the coach, I played outfield and played third base. Coach asked me if I'd catch and didn't have much choice, you know. And we had a pretty good ball player, pitcher David Cassidy. I don't know whether you remember David. He's from Crab Orchard, but he played at Woodrow. And the first game, he was pitching, I was catching, and I didn't know anything about catching. I went out, I was trying to work out some signals. He said, "Oh, you just get behind there. I'll throw you." So I never knew what was coming. He had a little curveball that worked pretty good fastball, and we didn't even know what a slider or anything was back in those days, but he wasn't bad. But I ended up having to catch the rest of the year, and gosh, you got to be the field general. I mean, you got to know everything that's going on, what the base runners are doing. I mean, it's a tough position. I've got a lot of respect for you guys.
I got asked that question yesterday about, you know, catching and so forth. And it's just, it's like certain things, you know, in sports and things, some things just come natural. It's just a fit for you, you know, whether you're a point guard, a shooting guard, if you're quarterback, safety, whatever. And catching just seemed like I could throw good and things like that. That just seemed like when I went back there, it was just very natural position. And it just kind of picked up on it pretty quick and did pretty good with it.
Well, you were noted for definitely being a great defensive catcher. My buddy Chuck Littlejohn said one year you was during the winter when you were on San Diego that you'd come to the Y and work out, and he'd throw you a few pitches there in the old Memorial Building, and he said, "Wayne, he used to burn my hand up throwing the ball back to me." He said, "I suppose it's been the pitcher."
That was the only place to work out before I went to spring training. There was no hitting facilities. There was nothing around like there is nowadays. So I would go up to the Y very early in the morning before everybody got in there. And sometimes I threw to Chuck. Sometimes I threw to the wall and things like that. That was my first couple years back here. When I stayed in Huntington, I got to go up to the field house and work out.
You did get to catch when Hank Aaron was still playing.
Right, my second day in the big leagues.
And, you ever have any interaction with him at all? Or?
Well, I don't know if you've heard the story. They have written about it and everything else, but the story is my second day in the big leagues, my first day was I got called up. I was in El Paso, Texas, and I went to Houston, played in the Astrodome. The second we flew to Atlanta, my second day in the big leagues, I was catching in the bottom of the first. And a guy came up, took a bat, kind of touched me on the shoulder and said, "How's it going, Rook?" And it was Hank Aaron.
Wow.
And I said, "Pretty good, Mr. Aaron. How are you?" And so we got him out. We scored. That's the thing in history there, a little bit baseball history. That day we won a doubleheader in Atlanta. But Nate Colbert, I think, hit 5 home runs. So they took Henry Aaron out after second at bat because we got way ahead. But then he came back and played the second game. But after we got it, I think he had a fly ball, and the umpire, Augie Donatelli, said, "I know you're in awe of Mr. Aaron, but you got to try to get him out." And I said, "Well, how many curveballs do you think we can throw, Mr. Aaron?" I said, "Because we sure didn't throw a fastball." So, but that was my second day in the big leagues.
Yeah, you didn't want to brush him back, I don't think. But when you give up the pro league, start coaching at Independence, and that's the first year they had a school, 76, 77. Right. And you were there 36 years and was the only coach for up until 2012, I think. But during that time period, too, you had an opportunity to coach both your kids. Didn't you?
Yes. I coached my daughter in basketball, and I coached my son in football and baseball.
And that had to have been a pleasure.
Oh, it was great. I mean, I never did, but, you know, the rules and everything, I never coached them in the summer. Anything, I'd just go watch. But then when my daughter was in junior high, they came and asked me if I would come down and be the junior high girls basketball coach. And my daughter was in the sixth grade. And so I talked to her first, and I said, "Now, because the lady, Carolyn Lloyd, her daughter was at the junior high at that time, and she had asked me if I'd come down and coach, if I'd think about it." So I talked to my daughter, and I said, "You know, I want to thinking about going down there and coaching girls basketball now. I said, I'll be your coach. And she said, well, Dad, I'd really like that. So I took that job and I coached at the junior high for, I think, two years before she got there. And in the 3 years she was there. And then I coached her in high school basketball.
Wow. And your son played football?
My son played football, and I coached football at Independence for, I don't know, 20, almost 30 years probably. And then I coached him in 10 through 12. His freshman year was the first year that the ninth graders came to Independence.
Yeah. Were your kids pretty good athletes? Or?
Well, my daughter played college softball at Concord, but she was also a two-time All-State volleyball player. They had great volleyball and softball and basketball for Independence. And then, so, you know, she two-time All-State volleyball player and played college softball. My son was All-State recognition his senior year in baseball. We made it to the state tournament his senior year and so forth, and a great hitter and, you know, just like a coach on the field.
Wow, that's great. Now, they're both doctors, aren't they?
Right. My daughter's a sports medicine doctor in Cincinnati, and my son has finished medical school and everything, but he's doing a fellowship right now in sports medicine in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Wow. If you ever need any medical advice, you know where to go.
Their mother's very smart, Mike. Coach Cook told me that one time.
Now, your wife, her maiden name was?
Milano.
Milano. Was she any relation to the Miss Milano that taught at Sophie Elementary?
That was her aunt.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She's a great teacher. Great. When I was
My wife's brother was on the basketball team at Sophie that we went to 67 when we went to the state tournament in Morgantown.
Wow.
He played center for us.
Now, you had state runner-up team at Independence in 1989, and you had a state championship team in 1990. Who were some of those players on that team? I'm not real familiar.
Well, I had Doug and Timmy Justice, Mike Lambert, Sean Wood, Brian Lester, Eddie Sears, David Justice. Steve Huger was there in 1989. Chad Perkins that coached it. We had a really good team, very deep, pitching wise and everything. Like I say, 1989, we lost in the state championship. We had majority of the team back in 90. Still had some of the team back, and Phillip Hart was All-State. I had about played shortstop third for me. I had a lot of All-Staters there. I mean, it made coaching pretty easy.
Yeah. Well, you had some good teams all the way through. I mean, several regional.
I was very lucky. You know, I had a community that was very supportive of what we, you know, the baseball program, great administration that supported us. And like I say, I had good players.
Now, the community thought enough of you. You've received a lot of different honors over the years. And I know that's not the reason you coach, but there's nothing wrong with a good perk if every once in a while. It was actually a coach told me one time, said, Wayne, if the people think enough of you to give you something, you got to think enough of them to accept it. And in 2004, the stadium at Independence was named after you. And I know you've done a lot of work on that field.
Right.
And the field wasn't readily made when you guys started playing there. And you retired in 2012. Of course, you're a member of the Marshall Athletic Hall of Fame. But I think it was Randy Hunt who played on your first baseball team. Randy had told me that you had coached in baseball, just baseball, over 300 and some players just at Independence.
I don't know the number, but I coached baseball at Independence for 36 years.
Wow.
So
you retired from that, and then you come over and started coaching in the Prospect League with the West Virginia Miners. How did that get started?
Well, I was coaching it with the Miners while I was still coaching at Independence.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I doubled up. And when the Miners started in 2010, they approached me about coming over and being the bench coach with them. So I coached with them in the summer of 2010 and 2011. And then, like I say, and then I did them until through 2017. I did 8 seasons with them, but even after I retired from Independence, I didn't coach high school anymore, but I still did the summer program with the minors for the next 6 years.
And that's a pretty intensive 2 months. I mean, the travel and, I mean, that's pretty tough. I mean, you go out of town, I guess 30 out of the 60 days.
Right.
And it's, you got to love it.
Well, it keeps you young. I think coaching and being around younger people, you know, it keeps your mind going and everything like that. I really enjoyed it. Really appreciative of Mr. Epling and him giving me a chance to keep doing baseball and stuff like that. I did that in the summers. It was good. You know, the college guys came in. It was a different level of baseball than high school and so forth. And we'd have players come in from all different programs. So I would kind of talk to them about what they did at all their programs and things like that and things that worked and I liked. I took back to my high school players.
Yeah.
And things like that. So it was a great opportunity for me to stay in baseball, keep playing baseball, you know, being around it every day and so forth, and then keep learning.
When did you start at WVU Tech?
When they moved up here from Montgomery.
Uh-huh.
I moved to campus. I didn't, you know, I just did the summers there. But then when WVU Tech moved to Beckley in the fall of 2017, that's when Coach Nesselrode called me and asked me if I would be his assistant coach. And so our agreement was that if I was helping him, I would, and if my health was good. So July 1, I just signed my 7th year of appointment there, so I guess everything's okay.
And you two together, Coach Nesselrode, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
You two together have over 80 years coaching experience.
I think this is his 40th year, and this would be my 47th or 48th.
Wow, that's a lot of knowledge to pass on.
And we have on the staff, too, who's Steve is our strength and conditioning, and he has 12 years of professional ball.
Yeah.
He's from down South Charleston and everything. He's retired and lives out in Shady Springs, so he's there every day, too. So we have,
he's been around baseball
a lot.
A long time. I can remember him. But I don't want to get too much into WVU Tech's baseball and stuff right now, because I'd like to get you back sometime before the season starts and we could talk some baseball. But I heard Coach Nesselrode on the Fred Persinger show last week, I think, and he spoke very highly of you as a baseball coach and you as a person. And he had a lot of respect for you. And it really sounded like he couldn't wait till the season starts, you know. And I know you were wrapped up last week down in the American Legion tournament. How'd you handle all that heat down there?
Well, it was tough because I think the real temperature was in the 90s every day and the heat index was right at 100. But wow. I watched 4 games on Tuesday, 4 on Thursday, and I think 3 on Wednesday and then 3 on Thursday. So 11 games in 3 days. You know, we went Monday night. We have a player that one of our freshmen that's going to be a sophomore this year called us, and he played the last week and a half in the Appalachian League. So he was playing in Pulaski County, Virginia. So we drove down at the last minute when he told us they were playing in Pulaski. So we got in the car at 5 o'clock and drove down and watched him play and then got back, I think, in Beckley around 12 o'clock. So, you know, I know Coach is really excited about this fall and this season because we have several returning players and he has worked incredibly hard all summer recruiting and, you know, placing your players in summer leagues and recruiting and taking calls. I mean, it's just a real ongoing process.
Yeah. Well, I'm anxious to see you guys. And like I said, I'd like to get you back sometime and we can talk a little more in depth once the school starts. And this part-time job that you have has turned into a real full-time job, hasn't it?
Well, it is full-time. I mean, that's pretty much, it's a part-time, but it's a full-time. I mean, like I say, we practice normally, you know, 3 or 4 hours, but the players are not there 3 or 4 hours. With the class schedules and stuff, they some of them, they come and then they got to leave to go to class, or they're here in class and they come late and things like that, you know. But the springtime is, you know, when we start playing is early. You know, since they came back, we start the first weekend in February.
And you've already got your schedule worked out, too.
Right. We have we play 50 games.
Great.
And we go, the first four weekends are non-conference, and then we play conference weekends the rest of the year.
Wow.
With a midweek game in there on Tuesdays.
Anything on your bucket list or something that you would like to do or accomplish that you haven't, that you might happen down the road? Anything you could think of?
I just enjoy being around sports. I go watch a lot of sports. I think the last couple of years is probably the first time that I haven't watched a football, high school football game and things like that, because I'm busy doing fall baseball practice. Friday nights are big for us, and Saturdays. I don't know as far as, you know, a bucket list or anything like that. I've been blessed. I've been real fortunate to get to do a lot of things with baseball and other sports. I've got to meet a lot of nice people and everything like that. I just like going out and being around. You know, I go out and coach baseball and stuff. Like I say, the other night, Monday, I went up. We worked in the office all day on scholarships and making sure everybody had dorm rooms and things like that. Then we got a call that our player was playing in Pulaski, so we loaded up and drove down and watched a nine-inning game, a great ball field, and everything like that. And I just get a lot of, I guess, satisfaction watching the players be successful, I think.
That's great. That's great. Well, you've touched many lives and positively and teaching and coaching, and I hope you can continue as long as you want to. And I appreciate you coming and talking to me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Anybody else out there that'd like to be on our program, you can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com. And remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. Until next time, God bless you.